Worst case scenario.
Die Bestatterinnen.
In this episode, we will talk about how the profession funeral director, undertaker, or mortician came into existence, and we'll allow ourselves to wonder, albeit from a very unscientific perspective, how animals cope with death and loss, and what we can learn from them, maybe.
Hi, everybody. First of all, thank you very much for all the feedback we got. Although we are very happy to hear that what we're talking is interesting for you. Yeah. And
Thanks for tuning in on Keith FM and also for listening in on Spotify. And one thing that popped up multiple times was the question, why are two German women sitting down and doing a podcast in English? And we wanted to address that. There's multiple reasons for that. The most important one being that there already are a lot of good German, very interesting German language podcasts about funeral, about death and grief and related things. But there's none that gives a German perspective in English language. And since we're from Berlin and we're working in Berlin, and Berlin is a fairly international city, a good percentage of our cases are with non-German speakers. And also we're in touch with a lot of expats and foreigners and wanted to give them access to information and stories about this particular part of German culture.
Yeah, also because we want to help these people, right?
As yeah.
Like, I mean, also expats die.
Exactly.
Yeah. And as an expat myself, we all know how difficult it is, the bureaucracy in Germany. And bureaucracy is a big part of the funeral job we are doing.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of bureaucracy that goes with that. And so we can help a lot there because we speak so many languages. So we have like English, of course, and Italian, German, French.
Yeah, working on the French. Yeah.
Yes, but Berlin as an international city has a lot of people that can't deal with the German language, and so we are there for them.
Yeah. So now that that's out of the way,
it's clear. Yeah.
Another thing before we go into what we're going to talk about today, I wanted to encourage you to give us more feedback, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We
want
to learn,
question,
we want to get better, mm-hmm. and ask us questions. You can get in touch with us, you can find us on the Instagram, a Hearst Case Scenario Podcast in one word, and write us a message there. And ask your questions. Ask away. We're going to try and answer them all in future episodes.
No, and it's also because we want to learn a lot too, no? Also, it's always something surprising in the question. Also,
yeah.
Like we think we know everything, but no, it's not true. So many things are always new for us. Every case is different. It's like so many things out there that maybe we don't know and we would like to research for you and to learn for us.
Exactly. All right, so we want to talk about how this profession came into existence and why, because last time we mentioned that like you don't have to have an apprenticeship in Germany, you can basically just do it.
Feel the job.
But I checked out a book, like the official textbook for that trade, out of the library, because I was very curious and I wanted to know. And is a weird book. We might go into more details in another episode, because it really is a very weird book. It has very, very extensive instructions on how to how to have a Freemason funeral, for example. But that's exactly not what I wanted to get into now. But
One thing that people should know maybe out of the book, and it's like the job of the funeral director first was a carpenter job, right?
Yeah, right. So that's exactly where I was going with this. Yeah, it's because the profession of like the funeral director, who is more than the person who maybe makes the coffin and digs the grave, is fairly new. It's like 150, 200 years of development led us to where we are now. And the textbook goes into that and explains that, but then doesn't ask questions about it, just leaves it like that. And the way that came to be basically is that before industrialization, in rural communities, in like small villages, it was like everybody, the neighbors and just the community who took care of a person that died. And then
was the person that built the coffin.
Yeah, the carpenter would build the
coffin.
Yeah, the carpenter
built the coffin. And then was someone dig the hole, and maybe the preacher did the ceremony.
Yeah, and then also like traditionally there were women that made a little bit of money by washing corpses.
Exactly.
But those were the things that were externalized out of the family, out of the community. And pretty much everything else, a lot of times even like digging the grave and stuff like that, was done by the family, and they would only get the carpenter and the priest maybe. And then when industrialization happened and people started moving to cities and everything became more anonymous and more compartmentalized and specialized,
also because
there were more people, it had to be more efficient, and like all of these services were more of them were like outsourced from the core family. And that just never really stopped until now, where like everything, where it's very normal that everything is taken out of people's hands when a person dies.
Yes, which is also like a need, I guess. Yeah, people need to have someone that organizes everything, because people has to go to work and something, so stuff like that.
Yeah, because the life can't just like come to a halt when someone dies. Like it
come to a it's a melting point when someone dies, and so someone can take the organization, which is us, but still the grief doesn't have to be. Also, the problem is that through the big company, funeral company, not us, but others, and not as like the standardization of funeral home, made possible, and we are fighting against that to standardize grief, like now grieving is also dictated from the company, took out of the hand of the family. Like, I think organization is what the funeral home does, right? We are good in that. But the grief belongs to the family. So we are not the person that say how to grieve.
Yeah.
So I think 200 years ago, the funeral director was, was just like a carpenter that did the coffin, right?
Yeah.
And the family was like grieving. And then they came together, and then was the burial. But the family, as you say, was like alone with that. Like they organized everything.
There was not like a place that I could, like nobody would come to your house, pick up your deceased, and then put them in a cooling unit somewhere for however many days. And then, you know, there was no cremation, like... Someone died and you would have to deal with it in the family, and then you could like buy a coffin from someone. And
yeah, so it was not the business back then. It was more like delivery, the coffin. It's like buying a table basically, and you did the dinner, so you did the cooking. And
and everybody knew what had to happen and what needed to be
right.
done.
And it was no time regulation. Back then people could grieve in their houses, and what we are trying to do is to go back to this tradition.
Yeah.
Also, if we are in a present time in a big city, and what we are doing basically is organize everything and leave the grief to the people that are coming to us, and guide them maybe. A lot of time, do you agree? A lot of time people ask, I don't know what to do. Remember?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. And then our task is not to take it all off their hands and tell them, no, but we're the professionals. You can leave it all to us now. But what we do is, like, we're going to take everything out of your hands that, like, that's bureaucratic stuff you have to deal with, like, all of that. So you have room to find out what you want to do now, because you're allowed to do a lot of what you want to do. And we're just there for guidance and for help if you need.
No, also it's not because we experience a lot of fear. Many times people are afraid of their own disease, right? Like to see them, to touch them. And I don't know, for us, it's, for me, it's like I'm not afraid of disease anymore. As at the beginning was difficult, but now not anymore.
No.
And so I understand the fear. It's normal, but how we do it is like to guide them to dim the light sometimes. Sometimes little tricks, right?
Yep. Yeah, and be there with like our experience and tell them that it's also normal to have reservations. But yeah, and that everything can go like according to their rhythm and
It's like we are just there guarding and answering question and so
that's I just think it's weird. I want to get back to this textbook, which is called Bestattung in Deutschland Lehrbuch. I just think it's so weird that they have like a chapter about the like the job and like how the history of the job and what is it and whatnot, what's your image of yourself and all of that. And they do go into the fact that this all used to be in the hands of the family and that it's a fairly new profession. But then they don't go further than that. They just teach people that go to school for this now, they just teach them. So 150 years ago, even maybe 100 years ago, it was different, especially in rural areas. It was very normal. And before we had these big cities, it was super normal that like it's everything is naturally in the hands of the community that lived with that person. But then like these services were invented and now people don't do anything themselves anymore and everything's the funeral director and then that's it. And they don't ask questions about it. They don't wonder if that's right or not, you know, like if you do an apprenticeship to become like a licensed funeral director now, they don't encourage you at all to question the way things are done now. It's just completely stabilizing this. Everything is taken out of the family's hands. The funeral home does everything. And there's just no room for individuality or anything. And they also, they just like bitch about everything that's a little bit different from the now standard in Germany. And I think it's so good to see that there's not only us, but more funeral homes that do it differently now.
I know, it's true. It's a lot of funeral homes are doing that, but it's also a big community that still believe that this is how has to be done.
Yeah.
We don't want to mention any names, but big chains but it's so are weird. Following in these books.
Yeah, but it's so weird to me that it's a fairly recent development. It's not like it has been like that for the past 500 years, you know?
Yeah.
Like pre-industrialization, it just was not like that. It's a super modern development, which of course makes sense. It has to be efficient. It has to be hygienic, like all of that, yada, yada, yada. But where is room for grief? Where is like the nature of grief? Like, how is it supposed to, how would it naturally be handled? You know, how do animals handle it?
Yeah, exactly. Like we can learn a lot of from animals, by the way. Really some animals, like the orca, for instance, when the baby dies, they keep the babies in their mouth for days.
In their mouth?
Yeah, although they don't have hands.
It's a lot of sense. Where else would they keep the...
So they have like the mouth... not inside button, and they carry the dead baby for days, and the other orcas, they are petting her with like
Their fins, they're concerned.
Fins. And so they really take care of the mommy that grieves, the mommy orca, or chimpanzee, we know, like, we heard a lot, I don't know, but a few years ago, the zoo burned out in some city in Germany, and the ape cage burned out mm-hmm. in the night.
I remember? Yeah.
And the apes, no one was there to help, and so they died. A lot of them died, and the next day they were like mothers carrying their dead babies on the, for days, yeah.
No.
And or birds like Corvidae are very, very interesting. Their behavior when some of them dies, they reunited themselves around the dead bird, yeah, and put blade of grass around the bird, actually like a funeral, like flowers. They bring flowers, and so they cover basically the bird with this grass.
Wow!
Like they make a burial elephant that they walk around for days, and they behave completely strange when someone dies. Some of the elephant dies. They are all around the animal, also the dead body, and they just stand, which is very strange for elephant, because elephant normally moves, but they just stand and grieve. People think they are grieving because their behavior is so not typical for elephant to stand in one spot.
Yeah.
And touch the body, which is also interesting. All the animals, they touch the dead body.
Yeah.
They touch it with the beak or with the tongue, tusks, or with the pins.
With the paw.
With the flosser.
Oh, with the fins.
With the fins. And so the touching is very special in the animal world.
Hmm.
And we people, we used to touch our dead the Muslim, for instance, they still wash their own disease. Mm. And we give that to someone to do that. Or at some point it started that people start to give their own disease to a company that did everything. And maybe that's why people in this, the society learn a strange behavior.
Yeah, it's maybe because we're not in like the core groups anymore that we used to be in. I mean, this is of course oversimplifying, but like in rural communities where the neighbors and the family and multiple generations just lived together and everybody did it, and everybody did it together. And in cities, you moved away from where your family lives and you're on your own, and then
But still, it's like style of dying in the city, you know, like as we say, like dying in a little country town is different than dying in the city. But basically, everyone, also in the city, can choose how to grieve. So
exactly.
This is what we are saying, right?
And I don't know how much we're humanizing animals there, but I've read a fair amount about those things too, and I really like to believe that they grieve, and that they, and especially like Corvidae, they are so creepy. They remember your face and they use tools, you know. I think it's not that hard to imagine that they actually have some sort of rite of passage for when one of them dies, and that like the blades of grass really have some sort of deeper meaning.
I mean, we are talking about not only like what they feel is like big question, but they are ritual out there. Doesn't matter what they feel. Let's say they don't feel a thing. Doesn't matter. They do the ritual when someone dies.
Yeah.
And this is what we are doing too, basically. No, we're doing exactly the same thing. Now we know that we grieve.
I wonder what evolutionary reason this if there's any evolutionary biologist listening to this, can you please go to Instagram at Her Case Scenario Podcast and tell us about this? If there's anyone listening who knows more, I think this is super interesting.
You mean the animals or the people?
Yeah, the animals, like the question.
But for me, it's more important why we develop in a completely opposite direction than we were 200 years ago. Is it really only because the funeral home became so huge and they took the job? Because people doesn't have the time anymore to grieve properly, to take time for the grief.
Because I think it's all more like part of a bigger development with.
Yeah, it's what I'm talking about the development of the city, right?
Yeah, urbanization and like hygiene things, and then in general, like the postmodern. Postmodernism just makes everybody like a
exactly
scattered individual in a sea of scattered individuals, and there's no more like the social networks and the social bonding isn't the same, and I think that's all part of like a development, and one leads to the other, and then
it influences. Yeah, which is interesting. We develop backwards. In a way, the city people developed in this way that we don't grieve properly. So,
yeah.
And we want to learn to grieve again, I guess.
Yeah.
Or we want to teach people to grieve again. I think grieving is such a special room. The room of grief is so special.
Yeah.
And I believe really that when people grieve properly with time, with time basically, and with closure, the world can become a better place. Because what we do actually is grieving is when someone died is a confrontation with our own. Finitude. What is the word?
Yeah, finitude.
The finitude.
Finiteness.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever. One of these.
Maybe we are just afraid to confront ourselves with that, with the end of life. That's why people stop grieving properly. Like in the city, it's important to make money, to do things, to be successful. It's not time to die.
No.
Not cool to die in a city.
Yeah, that is certainly one aspect of it. All right, I think we need to wrap this up because we need to do funeral director stuff and get paperwork and things ready for an exciting thing that we're going to do next week, which is also funeral director business. And
we are going to Rome.
We're going to Rome and we're going to take y'all with us.
Yes, so, yeah. We are going to Rome? We are going to Rome because we bring young Italian back home. He died in Berlin, so, and we are bringing him back to his family, which is in Rome. And we decided to do it.
Yeah. So tune in again 2 weeks from now to come with us and cross the Alps in a hearse.
Yes.
This was Sarah and Helena bringing you Her Case Scenario.
Yes.
You were supposed to say Die Bestatterinnen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was lost in English. Die Bestatterinnen.
All right. See you soon. Stay tuned.